I know it's in Isaiah, and I wish I could find it, but it speaks there about some people who have gone from mountain to hill. They've forgotten their resting place. Some individuals who had been through some difficult times, and they were facing some national calamities, and in the midst of it, they were crying out. They said, show us the way to Zion. They wanted to know, amen, in the midst of their calamities, how to get where God was. And they were asking. And I believe that if we ever did see tragedy, which as we all can understand, we're on the heels of, or we're on the brink of it, no doubt. We're on the brink of some difficult times in America. $4 a gallon is nothing compared to what we probably will face. And it's not all going to be whoever the next president, not going to all be their fault. But it surely will be the fault of a nation that's forgotten God. But in the midst of that, we'll see some more of what we saw at 9/11. I remember hearing somebody testifying, talking about what was going on during that time. And I didn't have a TV during that time, still don't have one. And somebody was saying that they remembered hearing about this atheist during that time. And everybody, we all remember, 9/11 came and everybody was praying. The president came and spoke to some folks in a chapel and gave scriptures, words of encouragement, Psalm chapter 23. And different ones were called upon to pray. And even the name of Jesus was used and people didn't fight and complain and bicker about it. And in the midst of all that, people were looking for God, praying, gathering together once more, asking for God to bless America. And an atheist in the midst of all that said that he felt kind of left out. Poor fella. Said he kind of felt left out. Well, you don't have to feel left out. Amen. When tough times come, people know where God really is. Amen. And I look for God to do something in America. I do agree. We're either going to see a revival that brings persecution, or we're going to see a persecution that brings revival. In the midst of all that, I still say we have hope. Amen. We still have hope. Tough times in America. I want to read something for you here real quick. When I heard it, I thought it was pretty interesting. The number of sales of guns recently is skyrocketed. Two fastest selling things in America at this time. It's probably some other things that are up there, but two of the top things that sell in America today are motorcycles and guns. Motorcycles and guns. That's not a good combination. Motorcycles, of course, because gas prices are so high. And everybody's wanting to find some cheaper way of getting to where they need to go, and so motorcycle sales are skyrocketing. Guy said he can't get them in fast enough before he sells them. And I'm debating, even at this point for myself, getting one of those little scooters. Imagine me riding around one of them scooters, funny-looking helmet on, looking all goofy. And I'm too scared probably to get one of those things. I'm just too scared. I've seen too many things on motorcycles. So guns are the other things that's selling. And you know as well as I do that the political tide of this nation is changing. And there are certain parties that are for gun control and certain parties that are for the right to bear arms. And so there's a lot of people who fear that the next administration in this country will crack down on gun control. And so people are preparing for that by going and buying more guns. I don't know how you feel about that today, but I want to read something that might help you out a little bit. Amen. The number of physicians in the United States of America is 700,000 approximately. Accidental deaths caused by physicians per year is 120,000. 700,000 physicians, 120,000 accidental deaths by these physicians. So accidental deaths per physician is 0.171. For gun owners in the United States of America is 80 million. And rising. 80 million gun owners. The number of accidental gun deaths per year is 1,500. 80 million gun owners, 1,500 accidental deaths. So accidental deaths per gun owner is 0.000188. Statistically, doctors are about 9,000 times more dangerous than gun owners. And here's a fact. Not everyone has a gun, but almost everyone has a doctor. So we need to alert our friends to this. Make sure they know. Amen. We've got to ban doctors before this gets out of hand. We need more doctor control in our country. Amen. I can tell you, if I look around me, there's no hope in this country just by looking at the country itself. There's no hope when we look at the political tide. We look at the moral tide. We look at the spiritual tide of our nation. We look at the economic tide of our nation. There really is no hope. But when we look to God, there's a little bit of a difference there. I want to read two scriptures for you today. If you'll read with me, Zechariah chapter number 9. And I appreciate your standing to honor God's word here tonight. Zechariah, the book of Zechariah chapter number 9. The most percentage-wise messianic book in the Old Testament, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter number 9 and verse number 9. We're also going to read in Hebrews chapter number 6 there. So if you wanted to get a head start on me, I've got it marked. Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to read verse 18 there. We're starting in Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. His dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have set forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Verse number 12, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto you. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18. There it says that by, look in verse number 19. That's my fault. No, I'm sorry, verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I'm going to preach tonight on prisoners of hope. Would you go to the Lord with me in prayer? Thank you so much, Lord. Oh, thank you for your word, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence we feel here tonight. And God, I thank you, Lord. Oh, God, for your saints that are here, I just ask you that you would move in our midst tonight, God. Help every heart, help every individual. And I pray that you would strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man. I pray, God, that you would speak to hearts, Lord, and speak to lives. And I ask for your anointing, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Prisoners of hope. Amen. That seems to be almost an oxymoron, if you think about it. Prisoners, and yet hope. Chains, and somehow hope. It's hard to imagine these things, but if we can look at the circumstances and the situation here at this time, we know that the children of Israel had been, of no doubt in the Old Testament, they had been moved in their congregations from a tabernacle where they originated with Moses. Then they moved into a temple, amen, Solomon's temple, where the glory was no doubt in such a way that the priests could not minister for the glory of God that had come to that house. And we understand that through the Babylonian invasion, the Jerusalem invasion. The Bible tells us that Jerusalem was attacked and invaded by the Babylonians, and the temple was sacked and burned, and Jerusalem was sacked and the temple was burned, and no doubt the temple had been laid to the ground. And at the time that we read this scripture, we know that there had been some rebuilding. We've talked about it some already, the fact that the children of Israel had gone 70 years in captivity, 70 years in a time in which the house of God lie in ruins, the city of God, Jerusalem, lie in ruins, during a time in which the children of God were in bondage, in captivity, because of their sins. Amen. And during this time, God began restoring hope to His children once more. Amen. There had been those who'd seen Solomon's house. Amen. Who had saw the glory, who missed that glory. Then there were those who were born in captivity that had never seen the glory of Solomon's house. What began to transpire during this time was, as we've spoken of, God had raised up a king whose name name was Cyrus. Cyrus, the king of the Persians. The second empire that came and occupied Jerusalem. That second empire that was there, Cyrus, that king, God had spoken in Isaiah 44 that he would raise up Cyrus 150 years before. Amen. Remember, hallelujah, before they were ever in captivity, God already had a plan to get him out. Amen. 150 years before the rebuilding of the temple, Cyrus was called by name. Amen. 70 years of captivity came, and in the midst of these years, Cyrus came. Amen. He was anointed by God. He spoke forth the edict that they could rebuild the house of the Lord. Not only that, but he let them know that he would finance it. He would give them all the gold and the money that they needed. And on they went in building. That's why Zechariah was moved upon by the Lord. Zechariah's name means the Lord remembers. And in the midst of a time when the children of Israel may have been forgetting that God had promised that he would raise up Cyrus, in the midst of a time when the children of Israel might have forgotten that God was going to regather them, amen, the Lord sent forth a prophet whose name means the Lord remembers. Amen. Remembrance of the Lord. Zechariah was the head of a priestly family, the family of Iddo. He was of the tribe of Levi and served in a unique function as both a priest and a prophet. And no doubt he was familiar with the law. He was familiar with the temple. And no doubt he was excited like anyone else about this rebuilding. And we all remember, our brother was testifying and preachifying about it the other night. Brother Matt was talking about that during this time they'd been given the words of a king and they went to rebuild in the house. Amen. And they went to rebuild and the enemy came by and the enemy said, "We want to help you build." The enemy came in. The book of Ezra gives reference to it. And the enemy came in to help them, supposedly. Then after a little while, that same enemy began accusing them and working against them and devising a scheme with the king to try to get them to stop. Amen. After years of building and the temple being almost just the foundation laid and the altar there, during this time, the children of God were attacked by their enemies and they ceased the work. They decided they'd lay off. The enemy was too great. The enemy was too large. He was too strong. Amen. And so that's why Zechariah came forth and said, "Hey, you might have forgotten about this work, but the Lord remembers." Haggai was a prophet that came during this time as well. And if you could divide the book of Zechariah up into two historical portions, Zechariah prophesied as a young man in Zechariah 1 through 8, and as an older man in Zechariah 9 through 14. The primary purpose of the first 8 chapters was that of the rebuilding, the going back to the work. The same purpose of why Haggai wrote. Haggai said, "Is it right for you to dwell in your beautiful houses while the house of God lie in ruins? Is it right for you to have such a nice household? Is it right for you to put so much effort into your own purposes and your own desires while the house of God lie in ruins?" Amen. On comes Haggai. He lets them know that although they thought that the temple that they were seeing now was such a small thing, he let them know that although it wasn't anything in comparison to Solomon's temple, the glory of the latter house would be greater than that of the former. And Zechariah understood that the children of God didn't think they had the strength, and that's why he said, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." He encouraged Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, during that time, and they went back to building. But in Zechariah chapter number 9, he begins dealing with a different problem. Amen. There was many who had gone to Jerusalem. Amen. But at the same time, there were more who would not go back to Jerusalem. The temple had been rebuilt. The priesthood had been reestablished. The children of God were given access to go back to the place that they belonged. Amen. But while there was a large number of Jews in that day, only 50,000 of them approximately traveled back to Jerusalem, amen, from their captivity. The reality of it was that the majority of the children of God preferred to stay in captivity rather than to go to the place that they belonged. And what a picture we can find of the average church world today. Amen. A minority of people who've really got a desire for the things of God, and a majority, amen, who doesn't want to come out of their bondage, doesn't want to come out of their captivity, doesn't want to come out of their trial, doesn't want to come out of their difficulties. Amen. I wonder sometimes, amen, as Pastor Lamb was saying, amen, he prayed and asked the Lord if he would reach down and touch someone, and the Lord's response was, "They won't reach up to me." Amen. I wonder sometimes, amen, how many times that God has been willing and wanting to do something for us, but we've been more content to stay in our captivity than to go all the way where we should be. Amen. It's too comfortable sometimes. We get too at ease in Zion. We're too happy, amen, with our own circumstances. Amen. We're satisfied to struggle through in our own efforts than we would be to let God help us through. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So chapters 1 through 8, he says, you need to get back to building. Chapters 9 through 14, he's saying, listen, amen, the purpose of the rebuilding wasn't just to have a temple there, but the purpose of the rebuilding was so that we could bring ourselves back to this city and to restore the city of God once more. Ezekiel had already prophesied, amen, that God was going to regather Israel. Amen, Ezekiel had already said, amen, that all of Israel would be regathered to that place there in Jerusalem. And so he knew, Zechariah knew that God hadn't given up on Jerusalem, hadn't given up on God's people. Amen, Zechariah was inspired by God. Amen, another thing that he battled with, that during this time there was a messianic hope. Amen. They thought if we can rebuild this temple, amen, the Messiah will come and deliver us from this bondage. The Messiah will come and deliver us from all of our oppressors. You see, during this time, the city of Jerusalem was still not walled. The city of Jerusalem still did not have a protective force around it, a wall securing it. During this time, the people of God still did not have an army to protect themselves, nor did they have enough weapons to be able to handle the formidable foes that surrounded them. And so to go to Jerusalem, amen, was to take a risk. To go to Jerusalem, amen, was to put your life at stake. To go to Jerusalem, amen, meant that you were willing to face even death if the enemy came to attack you. Amen. There was a majority who said, I'm not willing to take that risk. But there was a minority who said, although it's a high risk, amen, I'd rather risk my life by doing something for God than to risk my life sitting here doing nothing. Woo! Amen. Oh, there was some who said, I'd rather risk my life trying to be free than I would to sit in captivity the rest of my life and be dead while I'm living. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's exactly what happens when you make up your mind that I'm going to have revival in my own heart. He said, I'm tired of being where I am. I'm tired of existing the same way that I've always existed. I'm tired of struggling through on my own. I'm tired of trying to fight through by myself. I'm getting where I know God wants me to be. And although I don't know what's going to be there, although I can't tell you how secure I'm going to be by my own strength, I know that God's going to take care of me. And so he said, amen, they were expecting the Messiah to come as soon as they rebuilt the temple. And there were some who said, we've rebuilt the temple and the Messiah hasn't come. So Zechariah writes, amen. Oh, the captivity of the children of Israel. Amen. The people of God have always somehow gone through captivity. You can't follow God's people without finding the clink of a chain or the crack of a whip. From the beginning, the book of Exodus, going all the way through, we find that that they're in captivity once more. And then we get into the New Testament church, and we see that even there, amen, just as much as we can find prayer in every chapter, just about in the book of Acts, with the exception of maybe three or four, we can also find all throughout the book of Acts, not only is there prayer, not only is there power, not only is there an anointing, not only are their souls saved, not only are their people filled with the Holy Ghost, but there's also the crack of a whip and the clink of a chain. Amen, there are people that are put into bondage and captivity. There are people who are put into prison. Amen. And while there's some, amen, who are in captivity, amen, Zechariah is telling them, you're in captivity now. But I want you to know, amen, you're in captivity to something greater than that if you're a child of God. You're not a prisoner, amen, of the Persians. You're not a prisoner of the Egyptians. You're not a prisoner, amen, of Pharaoh and his army. You're not a prisoner, amen, of Nero and his army. You're not a prisoner of the Roman Empire. Amen. Whoa, wherever you are as a child of God, you're a prisoner of something far greater. Amen. Something that Paul said would endure. Amen. These three things endure. Faith, hope, and charity. Amen. Three things are going to stay always. Three things the devil can never take away from you. Three things you don't have to worry about losing. If you're a child of God, one is faith. Amen. One is love. Amen. But thank God. Amen. The devil can't take our hope if we're a child of God. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Zechariah said, you expect the Messiah to come right away? Amen. You're having a hard time because he didn't come right now? Amen. He wants to let them know they still need to turn to the stronghold because they're prisoners of hope. Turn. Not a very popular word today. Amen. Not a very popular word. And no doubt, even among so-called preachers in the world today, they don't like this term because the word turn implies leaving where you're at and going somewhere else. The word turn implies that where you are isn't good and you need to go somewhere else. Amen. And they were dwelling in captivity. And the writer says, turn. Turn to the strongholds. you prisoners of hope. And I can tell you the message we need to hear today is not only turn from your sins, but we need to hear some folks that say, cry loudly, turn from the world. Amen. Turn from this world system. Turn from this world's mindset. Turn from the bondage that this world brings. Amen. The Word of God gives us different instructions concerning the world. Amen. We can see that James said we should keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Amen. We also find that Paul said to Timothy that we should not be entangled with this world. Oh, and I can tell you, amen, that Paul told all of us that we should come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. All through the Word of God, amen, we find Babylon in the Old Testament. We find Babylon in the New Testament. And so Babylon, no doubt, is a symbol and a type of the world. And from the beginning to the end, the message to those in Babylon has been the same. The beginning of Babylon in the Old Testament, amen, we find that Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees. That's modern day Babylon. And God's message to Abraham while he dwelt in Babylon, amen, it was to get up from among them. Get up from your people and come out of there. Abraham came up and got out of Ur. Amen. When he came out of Ur, God blessed him. That's the beginning of Babylon. The end of Babylon we find in Revelation chapter 19. It's the same message. Amen. God says, come out of her, my people. Amen. And the same message is true today. We don't need to be the friend of the world. We don't need to buddy up with the world. Amen. There's those today that say, if you can just be like them, we can win them. But I can tell you, it's impossible for a drowning man to save another drowning man. Amen. I was just flipping through the radio stations. That's dangerous. I know. I was trying to find a gospel station. I landed on something, and it seemed like they were talking about the Lord. Then I listened on as they were talking about their hip-hop. Holy hip-hop. And I listened to this holy hip-hop. And this woman, I guess, was promoting some kind of a band or whatever, hip-hop something. They were beeping and bopping and doing all the things that they do. She was promoting them, and she said, you know, and she was talking just like somebody who would be in the world, talking just the same kind of lingo, just minus the cuss words. And she was using all the whatever you call it, hip phrase. I mean, I'm almost 30. I sound old, don't I? That hip phraseology saying, you know, this is hot and that's hot and whatever, all the hot lyrics and all this other stuff. Then she said, you know, we just want to give them the kind of music that they're used to listening to. Amen. She said, if we can just become like the world, we can win the world. We adopt the world's music and put a little gospel in it. Then we can reach them somehow. Amen. I remember that when I wasn't a Christian. I remember, amen, as one of our chaplains in the military told me we needed to watch a Carmen video. Amen. He brought us in, set us down, put Carmen on the TV there. I wasn't even saved. Amen. He put a little Carmen video on there. Carmen got out there and started doing his little rap. Had his hat turned sideways. You know what I thought when I sat there? This man is a wannabe. If I wanted to listen to rap music, I'd listen to rap music. Why listen to this man who isn't as good a musician as these that are in the world are? Amen. This one who's trying to imitate the world. I'd rather have the real thing if I'm in the world. Amen. I remember, amen, when the so-called Christian rock bands came out. I listened to them. You know what I thought they were before I got saved? Wannabes. Just cheap wannabes. They just acted like they were just like the world, but they really weren't. Amen. They acted like they were the great musicians. Amen. Oh, I can tell you, there's a lot of them that would lose sales if they took the Christian genre off of their albums. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, amen. Well, they sing about God. Yeah. There's a lot of country music singers that sing about God too. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right. Amen. And that's the least of our problems when we think about the world. Amen. I can tell you this, friend. Amen. There's a lot of things that are in this world that we can understand that rob us of our hope. The Bible tells us that when we were once aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know why a lot of folks have a hard time having hope? It's because they're still in the world. I want to tell you right now, there's no hope in the world. We can see the beginning of the world, amen, in Nimrod's day. We can see the end of the world in the book of Revelation, and the world system is going to be destroyed. This world and all that's in it is going to burn with a fervent heat. This world and all that's in it is going to find, amen, that the elements will melt with a fervent heat. And I don't want to be clinging too tight to anything in this world to where the fire gets a hold of me too. My Lord, I can't stay here all night, but there's a group of people, three different ones, amen, that were bidden to a feast. And Jesus was giving these three as an example of those who were bidden to the gospel, bidden to taste of the Lord's Supper. And Jesus said they with one consent began to make excuse. This world wants to make it seem like you don't have to do anything to become a Christian. Amen. I'm talking about this worldly religious crowd. This worldly religious crowd. And they give you no hope. You know why they give you no hope? Because there's no changed life. There's no changed lifestyle. I got saved with all the gospel that I heard, and I'm thankful for what I did here. But when I got saved, there was something inside of me. Amen. I didn't hear it from a pulpit. I didn't hear it preached. I got saved at a worldly charismatic church, and I followed a worldly charismatic preacher around from church to church until I finally got convicted by God, and God dealt with me and helped me to find a good church somewhere. Amen. But I remember as I was trying, amen, to do what I thought God wanted me to do, the Lord dealt with me to quit listening to the music I was listening to. God dealt with me to quit smoking cigarettes. God dealt with me not even to hang around with those that drank and to get rid of worldly influence and worldly friends. Amen. God dealt with me about all those things. I didn't hear it preached from a pulpit, but the Lord told me. Amen. God told me, get rid of your friends. I said, Lord, I've got more friends than I've ever had. The Lord said, I'll give you better friends. Amen. One of these days here soon, I'm going to go visit one of my best friends. Amen. It's a friend God gave me the day after I decided, amen, to get rid of the worldly friends. Amen. Those worldly friends would have watched me go to hell. Those worldly Christian friends would have watched me go to hell, would have watched me get entangled with the things that I was once entangled in. They'd have laughed at me and had fun with me doing the same things that I was doing. But I'm thankful that God dealt with my heart to turn, to come out from among them, to be separate. Amen. And thank God because of that. We have hope. Amen. But there is no hope in the world. Amen. Turn to the stronghold. You prisoners of hope. The stronghold there is a reference to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a high city, a city upon a mountain. It's called the city, amen, that's set on a hill. Jerusalem was up high on a mountaintop. And no doubt in the Old Testament days, and even in some places today, the greatest strategy in fighting a war is to get that high spot in a mountain. Amen. It's been said by some that if the southern troops would have gotten the mountaintop in one of the battles there in Gettysburg area, if they'd have gotten there earlier and secured that mountain, they might not have face the fate that they did that caused them to compromise and surrender there on that day. I don't know, but I can tell you that mountaintops are strategic places. They're strategic points. They're strongholds from which you can face the enemy. Amen. And the children of God were worried that they would leave captivity and go to Jerusalem and be in a place where they were unsecure. Amen. But the prophet was reminding them, there's no place more secure than the hand of God. There's no place more secure than being right where God wants you to be. Oh, praise God. Amen. I've heard some talk about it, and I've even been there myself before. I remember there was a time God dealt with me to do His will, and He told me exactly what He wanted me to do. Amen. I was worried. Brother, I was worried because I'd seen some things, and I knew it wasn't an easy place to be. I knew it wasn't a fun place to be. Amen. And I knew what kind of difficulties others had faced in going there, and I thought, oh Lord, what am I going to face? Only to get there and find out it wasn't nearly as bad as what I thought it was. And it wasn't, amen, anywhere close to as bad as the devil had told me it was going to be. Amen. The prophet says, turn to the stronghold. Amen. Turn to the stronghold. Come out of the world. It's an insecure place. As secure as you might feel in that job that keeps you. Amen. As secure as you might feel in all the money that this world has to offer. As secure as you may feel in having all the blessings and benefits of this world. It's not secure if you're not in the hand of God. It's not secure if you're not in God's will. The only thing that brings security is God's will. Amen. You can be in the middle of God's will and not know where the next bologna sandwich is going to come from, but you can know that you're saved because you're in the hand of the Almighty God. Oh, there's those who say, amen, I've got to go to a place and find a good job. Before you look for a good job, find a good church. And if you find a good church, a job will come, Brother Matt. Amen. If you got a good church first, God will take care of all the rest. You take that step of faith and know that God is taking care of you. Oh, I can tell you, amen. Every time I've stepped out for Him, amen, sometimes it's been waters to swim in. I didn't know where I was going, but God's always kept me and taken care of me. Amen. That fortified city, that place that's high up. You guys ever heard of Masada? Masada, that place that's so high up. The Jews that were there, amen, they were able to fight against the armies that came against them, Maccabees and all the others that came. Amen. We're in a secure place. Amen. We're in a safe place. Hallelujah. In the Lord, we're in a safe place. Well, Brother Trey, you don't know how the enemy's fighting me. Remember, always remember the devil's a liar. Always remember. And always remember that he always acts bigger than he really is. Not that he's not big and couldn't hurt you, but he makes you think that you haven't got any ability. He makes you think that you can't make it, and it's true you can't make it on your own. What he tries to get you to do is forget that God's on your side. Amen. Just like the children of Israel, they looked out and they saw the giants. They said, we're grasshoppers in their sight. And the Bible says very clearly, just as much as they saw themselves, that's how their enemy saw them. And many times in the midst of our difficulties, the enemy comes against us and makes us feel so intimidated by him. Sometimes we feel intimidated by him because we've allowed him to see us the same way we see ourselves. I confused myself there. I hope I didn't confuse you. I confused myself. I'm sure I confused you. I confused myself. Hey, what I'm trying to tell you is, don't forget that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't forget that being in the hand of the Almighty God is a safe place to be. Amen. The psalmist said, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. I'm glad to know he's not just my help to get me out of trouble, but he's my help in trouble. And no matter what, amen, the enemy might bring our way, no matter what he might bring our way, no matter what we might face, if we're in God's will and if we're in God's hand, we're in a safe place. Amen. Jesus said, if we're in the Father's hands and if we're in his hand, no man can pluck us from the Father's hand. No man can pluck us from his hand. We can jump off if we want to, but nobody can pluck us. Paul said, amen, nothing, none of these things, nothing separates me from the love of Christ. Well, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. He said neither, I'll misquote it if I don't look it up here. Amen. I don't want to misquote it. Sometimes I get to where amen, I need the Lord's help tonight. He said, and all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's the enemy been telling you? Has the enemy been trying to tell you how far you are from God and what he's going to do to you and how he's going to destroy you and how he's going to rake you through the coals? Amen. Remind that old devil that you're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. Remind that old devil that neither height nor depth, amen, nor angels, nor principalities, amen, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Paul, amen, understood that. That's why he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul Bunyan. Did I get it right? John Bunyan. Lord help me. One of those two. Either not the giant. You know which one I'm talking about. Not the giant, all right? Not the one with the ox blue. I'm talking about the other one. The preacher. He was put in a jail cell. Amen. And his testimony was, they said, if you'll deny the Lord, we'll let you out. If you deny the Lord, we'll set you free. He said, anywhere that Christ is, it's freedom now for me. You don't have anything to offer me. This world's got nothing to offer us. It doesn't have security. It doesn't have joy. It doesn't have peace. It doesn't have hope. But in Christ, we are prisoners of hope. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise God. Oh, why don't you worship the Lord? Hallelujah. Why don't you thank him? Why don't you thank him? Hallelujah. Oh, the greater is he that is in you. Here, oh, thank the Lord that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I remember quoting that scripture when I was in Iraq. Amen. We'd just gotten there. And I don't know if I'll get to everything tonight, but I feel the Lord right here. I remember I first got there. I hadn't been there long. And maybe I'll do better if I stand still and don't drive y'all crazy. Amen. But I remember I wasn't sure what to expect. I was afraid. I was afraid of what I was facing. I was afraid of the enemy that was there. We were going into an area, very hot area, very rough area. The place that I was at was between Fallujah and Ramadi. The unit that we were replacing, I think they lost something like 16 or 17 guys. In a short period of time, less than a year they were there. Maybe a little bit more than that. They lost a lot of people. We knew we were going into a combat zone. And we'd heard the reports of what was going on there. And that's the way that it is. Right when a unit's about to leave, during that time, they always tested them. And when a new unit came in, they'd test them again. They knew whenever we were changing out. And so they would increase their activity, the insurgents would, to try to test our resolve and see if they could defeat us in an early time. And I remember as we were flying in, I got in the plane. It was a C-130, and I'd never been in a C-130 before. We were going into a combat zone. I'd never been in a combat zone before. We did a combat landing, and I wasn't sure what was going to be facing me when I got out of that plane. I didn't know what was going to happen. They'd given us 210 rounds of ammunition, M-16 rounds. And I had them in my flak vest, and I had my helmet on. I had my M16 in my hand. And I remember as we were getting off that plane, I thought, I'm ready. But oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to face it by myself. I was asking the Lord to help me. We got off the plane. I realized we were in a hangar in the middle of a base, and we didn't have to face the enemy right away. So I breathed a sigh of relief. Some other people were getting sick because of the combat landing. Amen. But as we got off of there, we got into some, we sat around and waited forever. Finally, we got onto these, they came over, the unit that was there. We flew into a base that was nearby the base we were going to, so we had to wait for that other unit to come pick us up. They came and picked us up. We loaded up on their vehicles. We laid down where nobody could see us. We were told that we needed to get down below the walls that were on the side, bulletproof walls beside us. They were rolling over the bridge, taking us back to the base we were going to be on. I remember getting off and just fear. I got into the place we were staying at, and I had to make a journey across the base during the day. And that was difficult enough. Now, the day had passed, and it was time for me to make a journey back to the barracks we were staying in. Had a long walk. We'd been told that there were camel spiders there. I'll tell you about camel spiders if you want me to later on. They call them camel spiders because they numb the bottom, the bellies of camels and rip open their stomachs and eat their insides out. Camel spiders are really like big crabs. That's what they are. Nasty, nasty things. And so I didn't know. I've been told that there were some there. And while we were waiting there, some people also let me know that there was hyenas there. And hyenas, as much as we call them laughing hyenas, they're not funny. Amen. They're big, huge animals. And they're like a mixture between a dog and a lion. It's not very funny at all. And at the same time, I knew we were in a combat zone. And so I was making my way back. I was by myself. I had my M16. I had a magazine ready to slap it in if I needed to, in case one of those hyenas popped up or something like that. And all of a sudden, I started hearing these explosions. Boom! 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 I could see the light in the distance. Boom! Boom! And all this fear started rushing through me. And I started walking faster, getting to where I was going. Looking around, but not looking as much as I was before. Trying to get back. Amen. Boom! 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 They kept on hitting over and over and over. I'm thinking, we're being attacked here. So I started running. All the while I'm quoting, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Amen. I got back to the barracks. I was out of breath. There was a guy just standing by the door, as calm as could be. And I'm out of breath. I said, is that incoming? Is that incoming? Incoming is from the enemy. Outgoing is from us. He said, oh no, man. That was outgoing. And you know what was happening? I was so scared of something that I didn't need to be scared of anyways. But God still helped me through it, and the scripture still brought me through. And most of the time, that's the way we are. Most of the time when we really should be afraid, God helps us not to be afraid. And also, it's true, when we shouldn't be afraid, those are the times when we really are afraid. I tell you, most of the time, it's when we've got nothing to fear, that fear begins to grip our hearts. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful to know, amen, that in Christ, amen, we've not received a spirit of fear, but a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. We've not received a spirit of bondage again to fear. Amen. We've received a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Amen. Greater is He that is in me. We're saved tonight in Christ. If there's ever been a place before that I felt safe, it's in Christ. Amen. I've got to get where I'm going. Amen. He told them to turn to the strongholds, ye prisoners of hope. He told them, rejoice. Amen. O daughter of Zion, for your King cometh. We need to turn from this world. We need to turn to God with all of our hearts. We need to run to the Lord and find that He's our security, He's our strength, and He's our hope. Amen. We also need to understand that as children of God, we've got a reason to rejoice. And the reason we have to rejoice is not in things. Amen. It's not in things. It's not in this world. It's not in our situation. It's not in our circumstances. Amen. Sometimes our circumstances have us down. All our circumstances are doing is reminding us that they never did bring us rejoicing to begin with. Amen. We rejoice not in our situations, not in things. things, but in the King. Amen. That's where our rejoicing comes from. Amen. He said, rejoice, O daughter of Zion, your King cometh. Oh, I'm glad to know my King did come. I'm glad to know my King came to Bethlehem. Amen. As a babe in a manger. I'm glad to know my King came into my heart and changed my life and turned me around. I'm glad to know my King is coming again. I've got a reason to rejoice because my King has come and will come, and that's a sure and steadfast hope tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And I can tell you this too. If you're a child of God, you've got a reason to rejoice because your King's coming. Amen. Amen. My Lord, help us. An old black preacher, I heard him preaching. He said, I was flying to Florida from Maine. Amen. Dead of winter in Maine. Nice and warm in Florida. He said, if I was flying to Florida from Maine, you wouldn't see me putting on an old heavy jacket. You wouldn't see me putting on an old heavy jacket. He said, I'd be dressing like I was going to Florida. Well, you're not in Florida yet, preacher. He said, yeah, but I don't dress for where I am. I dress for where I'm going. Amen. Oh, praise God. We all know that it's true. Amen. We rejoice in the fact that we will one day go to heaven. Amen. And that, if you haven't got any reason to praise the Lord, you can understand that. Amen. You've got a reason to praise Him for where you're going. Amen. You're going to heaven. Amen. That's a reason to rejoice. That's a blessed hope. That's a glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's something that should cause our hearts to rejoice. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord and the power of His might. We're going somewhere, saints. Amen. But we don't have to wait to get to heaven to be our only hope. Amen. No matter what you're in, you're still going somewhere. No matter what you're in the middle of, you're still on your way somewhere. And if you're in the middle, amen, of a trial, I want you to know, if you hold on to God, you're on your way to a victory. If you're in the middle of a time of difficulty and distress, amen, if you hold on to God and trust in Him, you're on your way to victory and to joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. I don't just dress for where I am. I dress for where I'm going. Amen. You wonder why sometimes we've got to shout in the midst of a trial. I know where I'm going. Amen. I know where I'm going. Amen. Why do I know where I'm going? Because I can look to God and understand that His Word gives me hope. Amen. Praise God. We rejoice in God's Word. We rejoice in God's works. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. We rejoice in that. Amen. Remember the word, Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Amen. We've got a hope in God's word. God's word is the greatest hope that we have. Amen. And one of the main reasons why that sometimes we have the greatest trials is not because our trials are maybe worse than what we faced in the past, but because we haven't read God's word like we once used to. I heard the story told. Man was pulled aside and asked a question. They asked him, Brother Lamb gave me some good advice on how to get a book good and broke in. I didn't know that before. I didn't teach me that in elementary school. I went to elementary school in California and Canada, so that's probably why. But somebody came to him. Sometimes your Bibles, if you've got them long, they start kind of cracking. Sometimes the leather does. It kind of start cracking. So somebody asked him, how do you keep your Bibles from cracking? His answer was good. And I told it last time. I guess I wasn't clear enough. But the answer was palm oil. Palm oil is the best way to keep your Bible cover from cracking. I'm not talking about palm tree oil. I'm talking about palm oil from your hands. Amen. Handling the Word of God is the best way to keep your Bible from crackling. Amen. But we've got a testimony that many of our Bibles are neglected. Many of our Bibles are crackling. And in the midst of a time when what we really need the most would get us through, we leave that which would get us through neglected. How many times, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you under my wings, but you would not. How many times we could have had a comfort in the midst of our trial. Read God's Word. I heard somebody say, read God's Word until it speaks to you. Most of the time we read God's Word until we get however many chapters we want to get in that day. This man said, read God's Word until it speaks to you. Amen. You remember the Great Depression? Way, way back in the days, the Great Depression. I don't know everything there is to know about it, but I know it came about One of the big reasons was because of the Dust Bowl. There was a big dust storm that had killed a lot of the crops and caused the farmers to lose a lot of money. And that sparked the beginning of what became the Great Depression, the stock market crash, and all the other things that came because of that. And they say that the Dust Bowl came. There was a great dust storm that destroyed the crops and ended up destroying our economy. But I can tell you that there would be an even greater dust storm if all the Christians that have neglected their Bibles for so long would simply take their Bibles out and blow the dust off of it. Be greater than the dust storm back in the 1920s or whatever it was. Amen. Why do we reject and neglect God's Word when it's what we need the most? I like what Job said. He said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Oh, praise God. Amen. Job was, in other words, saying, I don't know if I can eat today, but as long as I can read God's Word, I'll be all right. Amen. He said, if I've eaten but I haven't read God's Word, I know I'll die. Amen. And that's the same as the truth for us. Amen. In God's Word, there is life. In God's Word, there is hope. Amen. And the reason why some of us have a hard time rejoicing, it's because we never spend time in God's Word. Amen. Every promise of this book is mine. Every chapter, every book, every line. Amen. This is God's remedy for our situation, and we reject it and neglect it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We rejoice because of God's Word. Amen. We rejoice also because of the works that He's done. We look back also the things that He's helped us through. Hallelujah. Has God been good to you? Amen. I'm just trying to remind some folks. I don't know. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm not. Because I'm sure, in the same situation, if not lower than you might feel sometimes. Amen. I've been there. I remember when I didn't really feel like I had any hope in the midst of what I was going through, being separated from my wife and my children at the time, having to endure the things that I had to endure, and being on top of that, have my life in danger and all that I was going through. It's a difficult thing. And although I knew that we were going to be there for a year, I still didn't have much of a light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. I've not been through all the difficulties maybe you have, but I've been through some difficulties. And I can tell you that in the midst of those times, it did me good to read God's Word. Always did me good. And it did me good to do something else too, to remember what God has done for me in the past. No matter how you may feel right now, there's not a single person in here that can look back over your life and say God has not been good to you. Truly God has been good to Israel. Truly you can say God's been good to you too. Amen. That old song that doesn't have good grammar but still has good theology. Amen. Says He ain't never done me nothing but good. Amen. And Job could say the same thing. And if Job could say it without the Holy Ghost, we can say it with Calvary and the Holy Ghost. He's been nothing but good to us. Amen. He's been nothing but good to us. Amen. Lamentations 3:21. He said in the midst of that time that caused him to call the book Lamentations, in the midst of the captivity, this man who had seen Jeremiah, he had seen the revival of Josiah's day, but he had seen the depravity of Manasseh's day and the depravity of that time. He had seen the glory of the temple during Josiah's day. He had seen the destruction of the temple. This man, writing the book of Lamentations, he said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Amen. He was remembering how good God had been in the past. And remembering how good God had been in the past, in the midst of a difficult time, caused him to remember, God has been good to me in the past. I know He's going to be good to me in the future. I've got a reason to rejoice. There was an old black woman. Amen. She had been going through some difficulties, I guess. She had been serving the Lord, and she lost her husband. She just going through such difficulties. She didn't have food in her cupboard. She didn't have food in her home. And you may have heard it before yourself. And she was in the midst of this time, and she came home with her children, and there was an eviction notice on her door. She'd lost her job. She was losing her home. She didn't have any food to take care of her children. Amen. In the midst of this time, she decided that all these things were going against her, so she was going to backslide. Amen. But before she backslid, she made up her mind. She said, Lord, before I backslide, I just want to get down and thank you for a few things. She knelt down on her knees and she said, Lord, I remember back when my husband had a bad heart and he was dying because he had a bad heart. And I remember when you healed him. So Lord, before I backslide, I just wanted to thank you for it. Amen. Then she said, Lord, I remember back in the days. And I can't say it like they say it. Amen. But she said, I remember back in the days when I had cancer. I remember when you healed me of cancer. She said, before I backslide, Lord, I just want to thank you for that. She said, Lord, I remember when my daughter daughter was choking on a wooden nickel and was about to suffocate from choking on that nickel. And I called on the name of Jesus. And she choked that nickel up and got it out of her throat. Amen. And she said, Lord, I just want to thank you for that. Oh, and she began going through, amen, time after time when she didn't have food and God provided. Amen. She went through time after time, amen, where God had worked for her. And before too long, amen, she started lifting up her hands. Amen. And she began to praise God. She said, Lord, I can't backslide because you've been so good to me. Oh, he's been good to me, saints. He's been good to you. No matter how bad you may feel right now, the testimony's still, God's been good. God's been good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. These three things abide. Faith, hope, and charity. Amen. I'm not very good with these kinds of things. Brother Matthew, amen, I can tell you, I'm a prisoner of hope. Amen. I can just imagine, wrap that around you there, brother. Amen. You remember that scripture we read? Go ahead and get up and pull me around there. Pull me around. Pull me around. Pull me around. Go ahead, walk. You know that scripture says that hope we have is an anchor for the soul, both steadfast and sure, which entereth into that within the veil. Whither our forerunners for us entered. For us entered. In other words, Christ has gone before us. And he goes before us as our hope. He goes before us as our hope not only to go there, but to bring us there. Amen. I'm glad to know that Jesus has gone to heaven and he's taken us there with him. Amen. We can know that Jesus has gone through the victory and he's taken us through with him. Why do we know we're prisoners of hope? That's not a bad thing. Amen. That means we're chained to hope. Amen. We're chained to hope. Hope is our chain. Amen. We can wrap around the promises of God. Amen. And grab hold of them. Amen. Hope is our chain. We can wrap around Christ himself and know that he'll get us to heaven and he'll get us through our circumstances. Amen. And I'm glad no matter what comes, no matter what we face, we've got a hope in Christ tonight. Amen. We've got a blessed hope in him. The Bible calls it a blessed hope. The Bible says we've been begotten again unto a lively hope. Amen. I'm thankful for that hope. Amen. To say a situation is hopeless is to slam the door in the face of God. That's exactly right. To say your situation is hopeless is to slam the door in the face of God. And as bleak as the outlook may be, I've said it before, the uplook is always glorious. As dark as your circumstances may be, it's always brighter in heaven. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I like what the psalmist said. He said, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Yet, I believe that's a very important word in the Christian life. Yet. In fact, there's a few times in Scripture that word yet is attached to the word praise. And the word yet, it isn't just a word that's attached to one word, usually. It's a word that kind of, I'm not an English major, but it joins two thoughts together. Bad thought, good thought. Yet joins them together. The bad, by itself, it's horrible. But you put yet in there. I'm going through a difficulty, yet will I praise him. Amen. Things are coming against me, yet will I praise him. David said in Psalm chapter 42 and verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? What did he say? Hope thou in God. Amen. All the circumstances tell you everything's hopeless, but yet will I praise him, who is the help of my countenance. Amen. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I want to read a few scriptures to you. In Proverbs chapter number 13, verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. I'm waiting for something to happen. It's not happening right now, but by hope I know that it will happen. And when it comes, it will be a tree of life. Hosea 2 and 15, I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Acre for a door of hope. Praise God. It's Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, amen, we say there that in hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Romans 8:24, we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? I don't see anything happening, preacher. That's okay. Hope is in the unseen. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer. 1 Corinthians 9:10 says, or saith he it altogether for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of his hope. Nobody needs hope like the preacher. Amen. Plowing hope. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. I like what it says in Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope is in you. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Amen. And every man hath this hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. I like what Romans 5:5 says. Hope maketh not ashamed. There may have been some people who let you down. God, you can mark this not because I said it, but because the Word of God says it. God will never let you down. God will never disappoint you. You may not see everything that you want to happen, but everything that needs to happen, God, amen, will bring it to pass. I believe there's some folks in here that need to grab a hold of the chain of hope and make themselves a prisoner to it. I believe there's some folks that need to wrap a chain of hope around their prayers for their loved ones that aren't saved. And need to say, I know it doesn't look like things are going very well right now, but I'm chained to hope. And I believe that your promises are true. He that believe that it's for those that believe on the Lord and your whole household shall be saved in Acts chapter 16. Amen. Grab a hold of God's word with that chain of hope. Amen. Amen. When we're looking for healing to come, doesn't come right away. Don't let go of hope. Brother, you chain yourself to that hope and believe that although you might not see it happening right away, we don't hope for that which is seen. We hope for things that we don't see. For hope that is seen is not truly hope. We look for things that are invisible to the human eye. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Joseph might have felt like he was hopeless. Joseph might have felt like he was never going to get through. But I like what the Word of God says there, that Joseph, the word of the Lord tried him. The Bible also says, you have to look in the footnotes to see this, but it says, until iron came into his soul. There was iron chained to his wrists and his feet. There was iron all around the outside of Joseph, but the Bible says that iron came into his soul. There in the footnotes there. What that's talking about was that something solidified on the inside of Joseph. Amen. That got him through the difficult times. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you in the midst of hope right now? I hope that I've done that for you tonight. That's what I'm hoping. I'm plowing in hope tonight that I can bring some hope to you. Amen. I think there's times in our lives where we need hope in our marriages. We need hope in our families. We need hope in our church. We need hope even in the midst of America. I know times are tough. Times are going to get tougher. But even in the midst of that, I still have hope. And no one can take that away from me. Paul said these three abide: faith, hope, and charity. Have you lost that hope? There was a group of people in the book of Revelation, the end of the Word of God. We understand there was a church that was there, that the writer was recording Jesus' own words to that church. And he told them, Ephesus, he said he remembered their works, their patience, and their labors. Three things he remembered that they had: works, patience, and labors. Those are good things, are they not? Works, patience, labors. But Jesus let them know that they had left their first love. He said, this I have against you. You have left your first love. Three things they had: works, labors, and patience. But three things they were missing. He told them to go and do their first works again. The youngest church you can find written to in the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians was the church there in Thessalonica. That church that was there, they had no doubt just come to know the Lord. They had just come to Christ. Paul said they had turned to God from idols. And he told them that he commended them that they had turned to God from idols. And he also told them that he had observed their works of faith, their labors of love, and their patience of hope. The first works that they had were, they had works of faith, they had labors of love, They had patience of hope. Now the church there in Ephesus that Jesus had left their first love. They needed to do again their first works. They did not have faith. They did not have love. And they did not have hope. Amen. So Jesus said, do your first works again. Amen. How would we know if we've left our first love? The three things that abide are not abiding with us anymore. Are you working by faith? Are you laboring with love? Do you have a patience that hopes? Amen. Do you need the Lord to restore hope to your soul tonight? Amen. I want to encourage you tonight. Amen. As we're standing all over the house. Amen. We've got a reason to rejoice. We rejoice in what God's done for us in the past. But what God's done for us in the past and what He's told us in His Word gives us a hope that we are not going to be defeated by the enemy as long as we hold on to God. Amen. I thank the Lord tonight. Would you go to the Lord with me in prayer? Lord, I thank You for Your Word. And I thank You, God, for Your help. I just pray, Lord, that You would make Your Word real to somebody's heart tonight. I ask You, Lord, that You'd restore hope to somebody's heart, Lord. Restore hope to that home, Lord. Restore hope to that marriage, Lord God. Restore hope to the prayers that may have been given up after years of prayer. Oh, God, I pray that You would help us tonight, Lord. Oh, God, to look unto You. You're the one who gives us hope. You are our hope. And I ask You, Lord Jesus, and that You would help every single saint in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. As they're coming to music tonight, play on the piano or however it might be done. Amen. I want to invite you. I want to invite you. Amen. To turn your weeping into dancing, not necessarily like the charismaniacs do. Amen. I want to invite you to turn your moping into hoping. Instead of moping over your situations, hoping in what God's going to do for you and through you. Amen. I want to encourage you to know that no matter what you're going through, weeping never endures but for a night. And joy always comes in the morning. I like what Peter said, that the day star would shine, would arise in our hearts. Jesus Christ. The day would dawn and the day star would arise in our hearts. Amen. The devil can't take your hope. Amen. You may go through things, but the devil can't take your hope. The enemy may be able to come against you in all kinds of ways, but you've got nothing to fear. Amen. You've got nothing to worry about, and you've got no reason to doubt God's Word. God is faithful, has been faithful, and always will be faithful. He's never failed, and He never will fail. There may have been a lot of people that have let you down in life. But hope, the Bible says, maketh not ashamed. You may be ashamed by putting your hope in me, but you'll never be ashamed by putting your hope in God. You may be ashamed by putting your hope in America, but you'll never be put to shame by putting your hope in God. You'll surely be ashamed if you put your hope in a sports team, but you'll never be ashamed if you put your hope in God. He's always been the all-time undisputed champion. Amen.
There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. Oh, it may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure, the vow can never stay. But we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King, and Lord of all? The kingdom of this world shall soon before Him fall, and we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, He's coming in great power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, there's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. And it may be evening, morning, or at noon. It's the wedding of the bride, united with the groom. And we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when He comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? For my home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. Oh, but we shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. And He's coming in great power. We'll hail the blessed hour. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown the Savior, King and Lord of all? All the kingdoms of this world will soon before Him fall, and we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Yes, we shall see the King when He comes. And He's coming in great power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, glory, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, He's coming in great power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, there's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. Oh, it's the wedding of the bride, united with the groom. And we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Yes, we shall see the King when He comes. And He's coming in great power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, my brethren, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King and Lord of all? The kingdoms of this world, they're gonna soon before Him fall. But we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. Coming in great power, we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. And it may be evening, morning, or at noon. It's the wedding of the bride, united with the groom. And we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He is coming in. We shall see the King when He comes. Some of these days I'm going home, where no sorrows ever come. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials, safe from heartache, pain, and care. We shall all that glory share. I'm gonna sit down beside my Jesus, sit down and rest a little while. Oh, we'll soon be done with troubles and trials in that home on the other side. I'm gonna shake light hands with the elders. I'm gonna tell my kinder good morning. I'm gonna sit down beside my Jesus, sit down and rest a little while. Well, kindred and friends now wait for me. Soon their faces I shall see. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. 'Tis the home of life so fair, and we'll all be gathered there. I'm gonna sit down beside my Jesus, sit down and rest a little while. Oh, we'll soon be done with troubles and trials in that home on the other side. I'm gonna shake light hands with the elders. I'm gonna tell my kinder good morning. I'm gonna sit down beside my Jesus, sit down and rest a little while. Oh, I shall behold His blessed face. I shall feel His matchless grace. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Oh, what peace and joy sublime in that home of love divine.